Chogger, the Jujhar Khaira on waivers seems like it might have more to do than just, well, we're not sure if he's going to be our fourth line center, because the NHL, you saw Frank Saravalli's tweet, they kind of changed the rules for how they want LTI to work. And with Khaira making more than all the other guys in that job, like, you know, in the case of $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 more, you know, that might be part of the reason why. And we might not see him in the lineup for opening night, more so for cap circumstances more than anything else.
I haven't been at camp each day and didn't see the scrimmages. I felt that with the addition of Devin Shore to the Oiler training camp and the potential for him to come in and compete for that fourth line center spot, that it could put Jujhar Khaira under some pressure. Spoken to a few people who have said that they think that this may have something to do with that potentially. We got to wait and see what happens with Khaira. Like, if he, you know, if he's claimed, if he's not, I don't think that he will be.
He's not going to get claimed, is he?
Yeah. I would likely think not. But I wonder if Devin Shore is factoring into this at all.
Would you be comfortable with two of your top four penalty killers from last year out, considering the number two penalty killing group in the league last year?
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about Khaira and
Sheahan,
right? And then Klefbom,
and keep
obviously.
In mind, Klefbom, obviously,
yeah.
Too, right?
Yeah, for sure. So it's not ideal. I think they're going to try some other guys, right? We've seen them try some other guys. We've seen them auditioning some guys. I think it sounds like they're going to give Kyle Turris a bit of a look there. They're going to have different guys potentially needing to chip in on that front. So, yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, but if you've got a guy that you think can contribute more 5-on-5 and get more done 5-on-5, then I think you got to look at it. And he can probably fill some of that role as well. So, I don't know. Let's wait and see. I mean, let's wait and see. If they have the opportunity to use him and they don't, it'll tell us what we're questioning right now. I don't know if this is just strictly about money and transactions, though.
Yeah. No. It might be a combination of both. It might have only to do with his play. Maybe his inconsistencies caught up with him. Who knows? Right?
Yeah.
We'll see. Like, I think worst case scenario, he's on your taxi squad if you're Jujhar Khaira, right? Or is he like, because I look at just the roster. So let's say Devin Shore beats him out, guys, is the number 12 on the line. But does that mean he's not even in your 14 now?
Well, not even in your 14. So, like, on your taxi squad, you mean?
No. You have 14 forwards and 7 defensemen and 2 goalies on your usual roster.
Yeah. So you're saying, does that mean he's not even on the 14? Like, he would just
yes.
be a taxi squad guy is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you go Ennis, Shore, Chiasson is your fourth line. Neil as well, because he's currently hurt or not fit to play.
Like, Neil and Haas aren't available, right?
Yeah, Haas would be the other guy. So I think while those guys are not available, I think that Khaira is fine to be on that 14-man roster. But when both of those players are available, Neil and Haas, then I think it's kind of this toss-up, right? You've got Haas and Khaira there, and which one is on the taxi squad, which one is on the NHL roster? I'm not sure. But I think, yeah, I think there's depth at that position, and I think he's being pushed, and that's a good thing. I don't know where it'll all land.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when I you go through all the other names you mentioned, are they more consistent or more predictable for head coach Dave Tippett than you would think Jujhar Khaira would be this year?
I think Devin Shore has a chance to be. Yeah, I think he's you know, I talked to some people in and around Anaheim last year and said, listen, it was strictly about having to play younger players. That it was not on him at all, anything that happened there. Does things the right way. He's a pro. Gets it. And we're seeing some good players trying to find work around the NHL this year. And this is one of them. So I think there's been an inconsistency that has plagued Khaira's game for quite a while. And if they got a guy that shows up every day and gives them what they're looking for without having to wonder what it'll be today, then yeah. And that's the way it should be. This is the NHL. So Khaira's had some good moments. And he had some good moments in the playoffs. He was part of a line that got done, I think, a lot of what was asked of them. Though I would suggest it was the wingers that probably made more of the impact on that. But he was part of that. So I've always believed there was a player there. It's just getting out of his own way and bringing it consistently. And if someone else can, I think they would be happy.
Yes, that's where I come from. Because as a coach, I don't want to have to guess what my fourth liner is going to bring. You know,
no.
Like I just, why am I wondering why if he's going to be there or not? Is he going to be A or B? You know, not that's just Jujhar. I'm just talking in general. So if you can find someone who can deliver, you know, close to the same or the same thing and not have to have those question marks, I think it's a no-brainer to make that move. And I'm not suggesting to put him on waivers to ask him to leave or anything. But it's been something that's plagued Jujhar for a while. Is this, who is he going to be? Is he going to be the good Jujhar or the one that just kind of, you know, fills the jersey for the night? And there's a player there. But we need to see that player every night. Otherwise, eventually, they'll find a player who does show up every night.
Yeah, and that's just it, right? They'll find someone who can. They'll find someone who does. If you're going to be a bottom six forward, and in particular a fourth line forward, there can't be inconsistency in your intensity level and your effort level. You can't have that. You're going to dip in and out of being able to be effective, right? Everybody has that. But you can control intensity and you can control work ethic. And I think those dip in and out at times for Kara. So you bring other people into camp. Gaetan Haas has pushed him in the past and Ryan McLeod is going to push him moving forward. They got other people in the organization. Shore is there now. There's good players all around him and that's the way it's supposed to be. So I think if Kara gets the message and gets an opportunity, maybe it'll be the motivation. You know, I'm sure he's a smart guy. He can look around the room and read the room properly and realize, okay, if I do get a chance, I can't make some of the same mistakes of consistency that I made before. And maybe this will be good for him and he'll reclaim that spot because there's a good player there.
Well, you know what, guys? Sometimes it's, hey, we've seen lots of players, and Struds, you could probably attest to this. There's been lots of guys who have, you know what, they get traded or they get waived, no one claims them, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a sec. Because I think a lot of players, you have an internal belief, and you're probably like, no. You know what, this coach doesn't like me. Trust me, lots of other coaches would play me. And then there's maybe a dose of reality check when it's like, uh-oh, no one just claimed me. And now I might not be in the opening lineup. So then the next time you get in, there's a hunger. You must have seen that with some guys you played with over the years, Struts.
Oh, yeah, you do see that kind of thing. But, you know, it's difficult because he's been given the opportunity here. And for you know, a while, this team hasn't been exactly, you know, a powerhouse. So this wasn't from a player that was maybe lacking opportunity, you know, on a really good team. This is a guy who's been given some opportunity and has been able to just secure an NHL spot. And I think it's difficult. Now, his penalty killing, there's no issue with that. And I think that, you know, the idea of changing two guys out of your penalty kill for the forwards and expecting the same results, especially early, I think is a dangerous one. And I think that it's clear we've all agreed that a good start is really important for any team this year. If your penalty kill lets you down and maybe it neutralizes any success your power play has, now you're looking, you're putting a lot of pressure on your 5-on-5, something the owners haven't really, you know, destroyed the last number of years. So I think it's a risky move. And that's why I do think Jujhar will be here, but I believe he's playing on borrowed time unless his 5-on-5 and, you know, away from if he brings the same intensity to the 5-on-5 he does shorthanded, there's a player there. But it's got to be every night.
Yep. Yep. No, I don't disagree. I mean, Nugent Hopkins is there and able to do it. Archibald can do it. They're gonna have Turris take a look here. Yamamoto has shown he can do it in the past. I think Cassian could do it. They've got some other options there.
Did you say Cassian think can do it? Did you just say Cassian can kill penalties?
Well, I think he's got the skills to do it, but it's more like we've talked about before.
Yeah,
you
got to
get out there and do the tough things when you're killing penalties, right? You got to get out there and sacrifice and. Cassian, you know, he's a good player. I think from a standstill, he's got a great first couple of steps, and you need that as a penalty killer. He's a big guy, tall guy. I think he has the skills to, Struds. It's just if he wants to commit to being a real good penalty killer or not.
Yeah, when I look at a guy, and joined by Ryan Rashog, and not to beat you up, Shogger. I mean, that's
okay,
not my
buddy.
Intention.
Beat me up. I need
not at all. But when I look at Cassian's track record, and you know, I can go back to the restart last year, and some of the shots that got by him on the blue line, we can go through the whole year last year, and rarely getting in front of a shooting lane 5-on-5. If I'm the coach, I'm like, you know what, this guy might do it shorthanded. Let's put this guy in there and see if he'll want to block some shots shorthanded. And it's not always about blocking, like diving down like a Kelly Buckberger. Sometimes it's just about making the D-man change his shot, right? Now he's all of a sudden shooting outside rather than where he wants to put it. Until I see a change in his 5-on-5 play, I won't even think. If he came to my office and said, I want to be on the power play or a penalty kill, yeah, no problem. Show me 5-on-5 that you can line up with shooters, and then I'll think about it. Because, I think it was a game-winning goal last year. And he almost skated out of the way.
Yeah.
To get it. So that's the, you can't just reward for it. So, you know, Cassian, no, Yamamoto, no problem. You want to give him a chance. Puljujärvi, yeah, if you want to give him a chance. But you're right. Cassian on paper looks perfect. But when he hits the ice, he either can't or doesn't want to. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, and that's all fair. I'm not going to argue with that. I think when you're looking through the lineup, looking at guys and their skill sets and saying who could potentially do this, you'd like to be able to tap him for that. But whether you can or not, I'm not sure. And you make some good points. But I don't know. Do you keep a guy in the lineup that you are left wanting 5-on-5 because he's a decent penalty killer for you? Or do you bring a guy in that gives you more of what you're looking for 5-on-5 and say, we'll figure out the penalty kill? There's lots of other good players around.
Yeah, 100%. Because when you look at it historically, guys, penalty kills from year to year, I've crunched all the numbers, like there's a big fluctuation. For I don't even know why, but the great power plays usually stay there. Maybe because your best players are on your power play, and you know what, you kind of know what you're doing. So I think if you can look and say, okay, let's, because the owner's penalty kill, even if Jujhar Kara is here, the chances of him having the same goals per 60 against and mm-hmm. you know, only being on the ice for 3 goals against all year is extremely low that's going to continue. So for the 2 minutes a game that he's penalty killing, right, or maybe 2.5 or 3 in a bad game, that for the other 9 minutes, like, I want a guy who contributes. So the more I think about it, the more I'm actually like, hey, if Jujhar could play like he did in the playoffs 5-on-5 at center, I'd have no problem. Now, the one thing, Strudz, you mentioned about opportunity. You're right, he got opportunity, but usually as a winger. And I just think he's not inclined to be a good winger because he's starting from a standstill too often. I don't think that works for him. So maybe he can be a fourth-line center on a team consistently. I don't know. But if he would figure it out like he did in the playoffs and play that way most nights in the regular season, then we probably wouldn't be talking about him anymore. But he's yet to do that. That was like his 4-game stretch, and then he would disappear for 8 or 9 games. And I think this comes down to his inconsistency has caught up with him, but it doesn't mean it's over. There's lots of guys that have been in this situation that were put on waivers once, put on
lots
waivers
lots of guys
twice.
On waivers today.
Totally.
Lots.
Yeah.
By the way, I just before we hop off, I just want to mention, I think I really like what Tippett is leaning towards here with his 3-on-3 strategy. They practiced it today, and I think this is the way it's going to go. I think that Yamamoto is going to start with Draisaitl and Barry, and I think that's designed so that Draisaitl gives them their best chance to get possession. Then I think the plan is for Yamamoto to stay out for a short bit, then head to the bench. McDavid switches off when Yamamoto goes. So now you've got a bit of crossover between McDavid and Draisaitl. Then Draisaitl changes off and Nugent Hopkins comes on. So rather than have Draisaitl and McDavid out there at the same time, gassing themselves at the same time, you start with Draisaitl and then you get a little bit of overlap and you end with McDavid, and you'll have a world class offensive guy on the ice for a longer stretch of time. I think 3-on-3 is going to be hugely important this year, and they've clearly put some thought into how they need to be better.
Shogar, have a great night. Get some sleep. Tomorrow will be one sleep until the NHL's back.
I know. It'll be fun. Talk to you tomorrow, guys.